Here and able to be here. This morning's title is Knowledge, Great Comfort. And, you know, I get my topics from a lot of different places. Sometimes it's things somebody says or things I hear from other sources, you know, different things. And this one may be an odd little source, but Larry and myself both are big Western fans. And I myself in particular is a big John Wayne fan, and Larry probably knows this as soon as he sees his picture. It's the old show, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, is what it is. It's an older black and white John Wayne movie. But he's telling this young lady, Hallie's her name, about like wanting to teach the kids and all how to read and different things. And she brings up the point that she wished she could read. And then she gives the biggest reason for wanting to read, and that's on this next slide. She says it's awful worrisome not knowing how, talking about reading. I know the Bible from preacher talk, but it would be a soul comfort to read it myself. You know, and that's what I picked up on. You know, and I've watched it a dozen times before I ever picked up on exactly what she said within it. You know, but what she's saying is the main reason that she wished she could learn how to read was so she didn't have to take the preacher's word for it. That she herself could dig into the scriptures and learn it. She said, I'd like to just read it for myself. And then I would know. And that's what that soul comfort she's talking about is the idea that I would know myself if I was right and wrong and if I was pleasing the Lord or not. And, you know, I know that this is a movie and so forth, and that's just one little, you know, sentence or two that's within it. But this is definitely a biblical, you know, topic. You know, Proverbs 2 and 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. You know, that's what the proverb is saying here, is the idea of having that knowledge yourself. It's very pleasant to you. You know, and the ideal of giving you that comfort, that knowledge, you know, that says, yes, I'm right. Or, yes, I know what to do, whatever the case may be. You know, that knowledge. You know, we talk about knowledge is power. Well, it's comfort as well. And that's what the scriptures is telling us here, that, you know, by wanting knowledge, by seeking out knowledge, we can have comfort to our soul. 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. But no, you know, multiplied. You know, I'm a math guy, right? I teach math. Multiplied is that, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Times two, times three, whatever. That's what's getting across. The more that you learn, the more effort you put into seeking the knowledge of God, this multiplying happens. You know, the ideal of grace, the understanding of what the Lord has actually done for you, you know, and what he's bestowed upon us, even though we're completely undeserving of it, the more you learn of it, the better you have an understanding of really what he's done for you. You appreciate it better. You want to serve him better because of that. And then that peace, once again, peace that goes right along with that comfort. Peace of mind, you know, the idea that you are in the right position with God, that you're not just sort of walking aimlessly through life. Peace that you know when your life ends. You know, we got a lot of individuals that are getting up in age in this congregation. It's a great thing to know that you're standing right with God. The only way you can do that is through knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, you really don't know as you lead this life whether you're going to be judged and said, yes, well done. You know, knowledge gives you that. Psalms 119 and 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. So see, the psalmist is saying, you know, the way I get my comfort, you know, even in the hardest of times in my affliction, is your word. You know, and that's true. So, you know, Yahali was saying, you know, it would be a comfort unto me if I just knew it myself. You know, and a lot of people in that Western time frame, they did just have to take people's word for it. The preacher would get up, preach a lesson. You know, he would say, okay, I'm preaching out of Isaiah today. And he would preach a lesson. They couldn't read it. They didn't know if he's telling them the truth or not. And he just tell them whatever they wanted to hear, you know. Just, here you go. And she's saying, you know, I'd love to just know it for myself. Today, we really have no excuse for that, right? I mean, everybody in this building, whether you can read or not even, everybody in this building can hear and listen and learn the Word of God and have that comfort. You know, we have so many opportunities, you know, for that. You know, the ideal of the opportunities we present here for that knowledge. But, I mean, everybody around's got these little cell phones anymore. You know, you can take, and they're all free apps on there. You can go through and find an app for any version of the Bible you want. And they even read it out loud to you. You can click on it, click on the chapter you want, the verse, and then hit play. And just sit there and listen to it being read to you, word for word. You know, and then you're like, okay, I wonder if that's the same. You know, click over to the next version. Say you went from the King James to the New King James, listen to that. Went to the English Standard, listen to that. You can compare 3 and 4 different versions just by listening. You don't even have to be able to read that. You can just listen, and every one of them read word for word. You know, there's no reason that we can't have the knowledge. She sought it. She wanted it. You know, that's my first big point here. You know, knowledge for that great company, it should be sought after. You really should have a desire, a want for that. She did. We should each want that. It should be a major priority in our life. I put this little picture on the screen because y'all know if you've been here any time at all, I stress when you study, you don't just read. You know, you actually study and you answer the questions like I say, who, what, when, where, how. You know, you need to be able to answer that. Every part of the Bible is tied to other parts of the Bible. And when something's being said, it is being said to a certain group of people at a certain time for a certain purpose. You can't just read and say, okay, I just heard that. You got to understand, why is it being said? What's the reason? You know, and so forth. You know, it should be sought after. But to ask to answer those questions means you put time into it. You know, it takes effort. And I know not everybody can understand things as easily as others. But that's why we have a lot of other opportunities. You know, we've got like the morning Bible class here this morning. You know, we've got our Bible class at 5 o'clock tonight. We got a Bible class on Wednesday. The reason we have those is to better understand. You know, put forth that effort to do that. You know, it's there. But yeah, you know, it should be sought after. Proverbs 18 and 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. You know, I don't like to be told I'm stupid, you know. Sometimes the way I say things, because I'm very country, very hillbilly type of individual, you know, but I don't like to be called stupid. I don't like for people to treat me like I'm stupid. I don't believe I'm stupid. I don't see that in a lot of ways, you know, and not want to be puffed up about it, but I think I've got pretty good sense. I don't want anybody to tell me I'm stupid. You know, and that's what it's saying here. The prudent and wise individual, the one that wants to come across as being, you know, seen as wise, the one that's got good sense about how to handle things, they seek after and acquire knowledge. They put forth a lot of effort into figuring things out. So when it comes to the Lord, if you want to be seen as prudent and wise before the Lord, then you need to seek His knowledge. Brother Garrett made a good point about this in her Bible class this morning. He says, you know, when you're trying to talk to people in the world and they ask questions, you're given a very small amount of time. So you need to have that knowledge to do the best you can with that small amount of time. Psalms 119:66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. But notice that, you know, the ideal of teach me. I want to know, teach me. You know, do you have that attitude? Teach me. Psalms 119 and 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This word hidden isn't the ideal of like hiding something so nobody can find it. It's the ideal of taking what you're given and applying it, making it a part of who you are. It's hidden in your heart. Like you have buried it deep in there. It's got a good place for it. That means you're going to use it. You know, that's that wise and prudent individual again. So then you got to say, well, you know, well why? Why should I seek it out? Why should it be such a priority? The first reason really would be just for understanding. You know, I got a little guy here, light bulb above his head, you know, bing, it pops up. Hey, I got that figured out. You know, a month or so ago, my principal asked me what was probably my favorite thing about teaching geometry. You know, like my favorite thing. And I wrote on there, it was the moment when I had a student that didn't know how to do something, but they'd asked. They had made an appointment for tutoring, and I could take and just present something, and you hear on the other end a little bit of silence, and then they go, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome, Mr. Cox. So you're saying like this, and then they can just start telling you all kinds of things. And it just goes all over you. You just get that big old smile on your face like, I have accomplished something. Well, that's how we should be with the Bible, right? You know, when we're sitting there and we're putting forth that time and effort and you just get that knowledge and you're just like, wow, look what the Lord has done for me. You know, that should be a great reason to want that knowledge, to go out of our way to get that knowledge. Proverbs 2, 5, and 6. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we see where it all comes from. It comes from the Lord. He gives us the wisdom. It comes from his mouth, the knowledge, the understanding. And then it's the ideal of from that we can understand the fear of the Lord. This fear is not the ideal of trembling, scared to death fear. This fear is the ideal of respect, reverence, awe of God. We'll never have that if we don't study and learn of God. We never will. And we need to understand the other side of that. If we don't have that fear, that reverence, that awe of God, we will never serve him properly. And when the end of our life comes, we will not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you don't have the reverence, awe, and fear of the Lord. Proverbs 12 and 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. You know, and I know that's a strong word. You know, we tell our kids, don't say stupid. Don't tell people they're stupid. You know, but here's, it's just pretty straightforward, right? You know, if you truly love knowledge, you're going to be seen as wise. But if you don't want to be corrected, you don't want to be told you need to do better, then yeah, it's a pretty stupid way of doing things. I mean, every part of your life, you know, you go to school, you're taught, somebody tells you you're wrong, you need to fix things, okay, I'll fix it so I get a better grade. All right, you're learning to drive a car. Someone tells you you can't drive on the wrong side of the road, you better correct that. If you say, no, I like this side better, and you hit a car head on, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? I mean, we understand that in the physical realm of life. Why is it different when it comes to the spiritual side and learning of God? You know, yes, we will come across as stupid if we don't want to learn knowledge for this understanding and correction. Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 17, 27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. So part of this understanding is how to direct every aspect of our life. And it changes us. It does that hidden it or hiding it, you know, hidden up in your heart. It'll take and keep you from saying what you're not supposed to say. Slip of the tongue, destroying relationships, destroying, you know, opportunities that you have because you give your mouth, you know. And then the calm spirit just sort of calming you down so that you can think through things, make good decisions. So yeah, it ought to be sought after for understanding. And then like I just ended here, it ties into the next point. With that understanding, you pick up on that guidance. Because really, the Word of God is a set of instructions to all of us. It's not just sitting here listening to some good stories. It's not. It's a rule book. It's a set of instructions on how to get from one place to another. It's a set of instructions for getting out of the worst place ever to get into the best place ever. Don't we realize that? It's a map. It's a set of guidelines. All these things that I'm throwing out there, right? You see the signs. Help, advice, support, guidance. That's what it's for. You know, every time that you say think something is so bad in this life, think, okay, this is going to take me to a better place. The Word of God will get me out of this and take me to a better place. But if you don't seek it out, do you really think you're going to get there? You know, women, they like to pick on us guys that we don't like to ask for help. You know, we get lost. We don't want directions. Well, that's really some truth in that. The problem is, you know, we take that same level of pride when it comes to going through life. Are we really that stupid, as we've already seen, to think that we don't need to know this? And God's just going to say, yeah, come on in, you've done a great job. Yeah, you don't learn anything of me, you know, throughout life. You didn't put much effort into figuring out what I've asked you to do, but yeah, good job. That don't happen in real life, does it? You know, it doesn't happen on your job site. You know, you don't go to work and they tell you to do this training, and take and read through this paper, fill out this paperwork, and then when the deadlines come up, you're saying, nah, I decided I didn't want to do that. And they're like, great job. Yeah, good job. No, they said, get out of here. You're fired. You know, we understand that in real life, right? But yeah, we need it for guidance. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So, you know, the guidance. Guidance on how to use our tongue. I have to say my tongue's got me in trouble multiple times in life. You know, and everybody in here can say that. But the more knowledge that you have, the better you hide that in your heart, the less problem you'll have with that tongue. You'll learn to keep it shut. Bridled, as James would say. Proverbs 21:11. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. You know, it's just this comparison of the wise and the fool, right? You know, if someone truly wants to take and grow and gain and do better and receive the best things, they will receive knowledge. But the scoffer just says, no, I don't want it. And they'll be punished because of it. Which leads to another point of why. Why is such a great comfort? It lets us escape. You know, one of the new sort of fun trends is like these little escape rooms. You figure out clues and you figure out how to get your way out. I've never done one. You know, but you know, in this life, all the pain, the suffering, y'all can see me. I'm up here squirming this morning. And I know you've seen that for a few months. I'm in pain. It hurts to just stand. It does. All right. And you see me trying to get from one foot to the other and take the pressure off one. I'm just wallering up here. They're backing me off of my pills that help this week. You know, I'm looking forward to being out of pain. You escape those things. 2 Peter 2:20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. But notice the word escape. They escape the pollutions of the world. You know, that's our ideal of having your sin removed so that you can be a child of God. But it takes becoming a child of God and to have that home in heaven where there is no pain, suffering, and misery. Hell is full of it. You know, this life is full of it. And if you're loving that, then you're looking forward to hell. Because that's what that is. But if you're wanting an escape from all of that misery, that's heaven. But it takes the knowledge of God to get out of that. Got to escape. Another one, you know, like I said, I don't like for anyone to think that I'm foolish or I don't have good sense. You know, excellence. You know, the knowledge of God will create an excellent being out of you. You know, and sometimes people will say, you know, you're different than others. And, you know, that's usually because you're acting like you're supposed to. You're being Christian or Christ-like in your life. You know, and people say, you're different than other people. Why are you different? And that's because you're showing this excellence. Acts 24:22 says, when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. But notice the idea of more accurate knowledge. You know, we talked about this in our Bible class this morning as well. You know, the idea of so many different people in this world that hear so many different things because people just make up their own doctrine, their own commandments, their own rules, regulations, and everything when it comes to serving the Lord. Then, you know, I think Brother Porter called it like fake news, fake religion. You know, it's the same thing. Here's what this group says. Here's what this group says. Well, you know what? The Lord give us exactly what he said. You know, that's all we got to do is go back to it. You know, so it's up to us, you know, and that's where that excellent lies. It doesn't lie in all these other denominations and creed books and all that. It lies in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, that bringing every thought into captivity, that's that control. You know, you only get that control through knowledge. The knowledge of what's right and wrong, the knowledge of how to handle that, the desire to serve God properly, that love toward God, you know, all of that comes into being that excellent individual. That's what he means by that tried in fire. Like 7 times, you overcome, you overcome, you overcome, you overcome, you become more excellent every single time. Colossians 1:9, 9 and 10, says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So notice it says filled with knowledge and then increasing with knowledge. The more that we seek excellence and we continue that gaining of knowledge, the better and better we get. That's that trying and fire, getting better. Brother James, he prays quite often, and he did this morning in his prayer, the ideal of when we see or hear, you know, things to make us better, we'll do better. You know, that's part of this. You know, this knowledge, seeking out the knowledge, and when we got it, we see it, we apply it, and then we grow from it. And that way we walk worthy, fully pleasing, and we're fruitful. That's also this ideal of being capable. You know, we talked about that in Bible class this morning too. A lot was talked in there, wasn't it, this morning? You know, but being able to use it wisely, that only comes through knowledge. 2 Corinthians 11:6, even though I am untrained in speech, talking about he's not a fancy speaker, I'm there. He says, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. So Paul's telling the Corinthians, he said, yeah, you know, my physical presence, you know, he'd been beat about to death, left for dead, you know, rods across his back, all kinds of things. So he's really in bad shape. And he says, you know, I may not be a really fancy speaker. Like when I come before you and I'm teaching you things, yeah, I may not be what you think is this wonderful speaker. He says, but in knowledge, you can't beat me. And that's really what he's trying to say. He says, what I have to give you, that knowledge, I'm very capable. He says, you ought to be taking everything that I say to heart. And the reason for that is he's being guided by the Spirit of God. He's taking the Word of God, and that's all he's delivering to them. He says, I don't have to do it in a fancy way, but you need to take everything that I'm giving you because it's from God. Ephesians 4:13, again, Paul writing here, says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that to a perfect man doesn't mean that we've never been wrong ever in our life. What it means is a very capable individual. And notice, to the measure of. That means we are working, and we're gaining this knowledge, and we're becoming very capable. We're gaining this excellence so that we can measure up to the Lord. That's really what he's getting across here. You know, the ideal of just trying to raise our bar to get as close as we can to him. You know, but it takes a lot of effort to do that. Ecclesiastes 7:12, it says, for wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. You know, the ideal of wisdom and knowledge here, and what a great benefit that is to us. It makes us very capable. Capable to control ourselves, capable of teaching others, capable of hearing, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It helps us to be renewed and strengthened. You know, we talk about like the hardest parts in our lives. The ideal to get that strength from that. Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The ideal of, you know, putting off the old man, putting on the new, talking about removing of sin from our life. But the ideal of every day of getting this refresher. You know, that's really what that is, right? In geometry this year, we always get some kind of little, like, saying or something to sort of go the school year by, you know, some kind of something. This year, it's like, renew. You know, that's their thing. Like, you know, rethink what we're doing, renew, refresh it a bit. Well, that's what we get by studying the Word of God. That's why we come to Bible classes, we come to lessons, we have gospel meetings. It's the ideal of getting that shot in that arm, that boost, right? You know, we're renewed, we're re-strengthened by that Word. But you know, it's one of those things, though, like you're feeling sick, you know, and you're like, well, if you get this shot, you know, you start feeling better. You're like, I ain't getting a shot. You know, it's the same thing here. Okay, I'm down, I'm beat down, life's tough, I'm miserable. And then you say, I ain't going to go to class. I ain't going to go hear any lessons. You're giving up, you know, exactly what you need. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. We need to understand we need it, others need it, but you know, if we reject it, It's just rejected by the foolhearted. You know, I don't want to be called that. Do you want to be called that? Do you want to be someone thinking that you're the fool, that you're stupid, you're foolhardy? Well, that's what happens when you reject knowledge. You reject even opportunities to gain it. Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. We need to understand we all have a choice. We can love knowledge and seek Him out, or we can hate His knowledge and not fear Him and deal with His wrath. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. We need to understand when it comes to this knowledge that we will be punished for a lack of it. You know, I put here, I stand corrected. In life, oftentimes our foolish pride makes us think that we know exactly where we are, we're fine, everything's going the way we want. But when it comes to the day of judgment and the books are open, you know, we talk about Revelation, it talks about the books. It's talking about the Word of God for one. And then it talks, you know, figuratively about a tally book of everything we've done in our life. We're judged from the Word of God. And then it's compared to what we've actually done. We will stand corrected. I can promise you that. Psalms 14:4 says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? Notice that the idea of eat up my people as they eat bread. You know, Romans 1:28, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Well, that's just society in general right there, isn't it? You know, think how hard our society right now is pushing to move further and further away from God. And then they want to blame anything and everything for the problems of society. Well, you know, it's a pretty easy fix. We get closer to God, the rest of the problems disappear. I mean, really, that's the balance. Draw closer to God, the other things disappear. You know, the more you say, okay, all of these sinful things are right, the more sin and problems we have. You know, it's very simple logic on that. But when we reject God, He really lets us do what we want. And when it's left up to us, we make a mess of it. Romans 10:2 says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Again, in our Bible class this morning, we talked about the Jewish people as a whole. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about his own people. He says, yeah, they got a great zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. They're doing their own thing. And we talked about that. Yeah, they're doing their own thing, and their own thing opposes the Lord. They only have one place to go. But boy, they're zealous about it. Luke 11:52, it says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. So we need to understand, you know, if we're not wanting to learn it, we're hindering other people from learning it. You know, I hear from different people here talking about how to grow at Lakeview and different things. And I have to just make the point, you know, and it may fall on me as well, you know, raising my own children and all. But I just know from experience, you know, I've been here since 96, off and on, back when I just stopped in on Wednesday nights when I was going to college in the evening and coming through, and the children and grandchildren and all that were here. And then when I come back for a period of time and I just taught Bible classes, you know, the idea of hindering, you know, I knew from a very early age, 16, when I was going to college at UF down there for a period of time in the summer, that the knowledge was not what it was supposed to be here. Because even at 16, when I stopped in, I had people ask me here what certain passages meant at 16. And I was like, wow, that's a little odd. You know, that we don't know how to teach that here. You know, elderly people asking me questions as a visitor on Wednesday night. To Bible class time frame, where I'm told by parents that they will not do Bible class books, period, because of their schoolwork and their sports. All right. And then the idea of coming to Wednesday night Bible class, baseball, bowling on Sundays, and other things are more important, that they would attend those instead. You know, even up to the time when I left over bulletins that I wrote with nothing but the Word of God in them, and people just said, we don't want to hear that. And I left and went to teach at Jennings for a few years. Until I come all the way back, even this last time, and then finally I've preached for about 12 years here. When we start talking about the hindrance, the reason we're as small as we are is our own hindrances. And we need to realize that. When you don't teach your kids that learning of God is the most important thing, you might as well just tell them, you go out in this world and you do whatever you want, who cares? I don't love you. You might as well tell them that. You should. If you're not coming to Bible classes, you're not bringing them to Bible classes, you're not taking and making sure they're doing their Bible class work, when you're not bringing them to every lesson, when you let them miss for everything coming and going, every sports event, whatever the case may be, when y'all go on vacations and you just take and miss services, when you're missing for work instead of coming to services, you are telling them these are the important things. And you're hindering the growth of the church. And you say, those Pharisees, boy, they fought the people hard, didn't they? Wouldn't let them go to the synagogues to hear the Word of God. You're keeping yourself from hearing the Word of God. You're keeping supposed to be the closest loved ones to you from hearing the Word of God. Who are you hindering? How about the next point, 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul's pretty strong in his speaking, isn't he? Back to that why. Why is it so important? Because only in the Word of God is there salvation. Proverbs 11 and 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. See both sides of that? You'll get yourself delivered out of it, but you can also deliver your neighbor. But, the hypocrite, the one that claims but doesn't really do, destroys his neighbor. And all this really does boil down to applying it. You can have someone that's been in the church, they've never missed a Bible class, they've never missed a lesson, and they still ain't applying it. That don't help a thing. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. Apply. Apply your heart to my knowledge. Wrapping up here, and this isn't the end of the lesson. I still got some slides, so let's not just quit on me at the moment. I got started on this lesson a while back, all the way back at our gospel meeting even. An individual preacher came to me, and he was asking how things are going here at Lakeview, and I was like, it's pretty good. We got some problems, but it's doing pretty good. And he's like, where I attend, I hear the death rattle. And that's scary, right? For a preacher to talk about the congregation that he is in, of hearing the death rattle. He says, we're getting close to the end. As in, shutting the doors, we're done. The death rattle. And that's what he meant. And he was talking about a few things. And I've got some that I know would be signs of a death rattle starting here even. The first is lack of interest, And that there's a lot of ways that lack of interest, it is shown. And I've got a couple here. About the week of that meeting, and this issue has bothered me for some time. My family knows this. Riding home after lessons, different things, it bothers me. They've seen me trip up even in lessons over it. But this does bother me. You need to know it bothers me. Sleeping through lessons. About the week of that meeting, we only have about 28, 30 at our best days with visitors. A week or so ago, there was between 5 and 7 at one time, dead asleep in this audience. Dead asleep. I'm talking about leaning over, bumping heads together, dead asleep in this audience. I know with the pain, I don't have as much patience as I usually do. Maybe that's part of it. But I'll tell you, even in the classroom, students are not allowed to sleep. They are not. And there's a reason for it. If you're asleep, you're not gaining anything for being there. Same thing here. If you're coming in to sleep, you might as well sit at home in your recliner, because that's the place for you. You know, I'm just being honest. You're not gaining a doggone thing by coming in and sleeping. We come together to worship the Lord, and we come together to admonish one another. We don't come together because we got a good place to sleep. If you're sleeping, you're not doing either one. That's disrespectful to God. It's disrespectful to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't want to come off as prideful, but when you pay a man to take and put in hours and hours on a lesson, and then you sleep through it, what have you done? You've wasted the Lord's money. You've wasted the preacher's time and effort. And like I said, I know some are going to get upset about me saying this, but you know, it has got to the point where it's every service, people are sleeping. And you know what? That's a lack of interest. And it's just like that other preacher said, it's a sign of a death rattle. Luke 22:46. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You know, that's the point being said there. You know, you're asleep. Don't you understand that what you're doing, that's going downhill? Matthew 26:40. You know, here at the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, then he, talking about Jesus, came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, I try to keep my lessons around 45 or less. I really do. Sometimes it goes a little over, but if I see it is, I try to split them lessons. You know, could you not watch for 1 hour? Can't you stay awake for 45 minutes, 35? Can't you? Isn't it that important to you? 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Like I said, why are you here? Are you here for a purpose? That's watching and being sober. You're learning the most you can learn so you can apply it, so you can live properly, so you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Another part of that death rattle. More and more missing Bible classes. You know, we got that Bible class, you know, today. More and more are missing that Bible class. Started well, we're probably down half of what we were for those classes than when we started, those grade books. Probably down half. Just missing more and more. Same thing with Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. More and more missing. Why are you missing it? I mean, why? There's only one option. You don't want the truth. You don't want to learn. You don't want to better yourself. Why are you missing it? You know, then we get complaints about how much money we spend on Bible class material. You know, okay, yeah, I understand where we're spending money. So, you know, I write up this new material to save some money. You know, but yeah, we bought all those books for people not to even use them. They don't even come. It's a death rattle. You know, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This assembling means any opportunity we come together. It doesn't just say worship here, does it? You know, and you take and back up all the way to 20 and read all the way through the 30s there, we'll understand that the topic's much bigger than just coming to a worship service. It's talking about our commitment to the church as a whole. Why do you forsake your commitment? Like I said, it's an indicator. All these things are indicators. Lack of interest, sleeping through the lessons, missing Bible classes. It's an indicator of serious problems within the church. It's really weakness of your own. And as being a member of the body, it's a weakness. It's a serious illness to the church as a whole. And like I said, I know some may not like to hear this. But you know what? I'm paid to preach the whole Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Paul also told Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season. That's when you want to hear it and when you don't. So yeah, you may not want to hear what I've had to say. But you know what? It's the word. It's the truth. I love you. I want your soul saved. It's up to you, though. If you don't want it, I can't force feed you. This morning, though, I would offer an invitation to any that might need to correct things in their life, either become a child of God or to take and fix problems because you're on the wrong path. we're more than able to help you this morning. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.